Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 15 and verse 3 today, Luke 15 and 3. All this time that I've had off by being sick and not preaching on Sunday nights with Pastor Sarah and Pastor Jess and the others preaching on Sunday nights, that don't stop me from preparing messages, and I got a backlog of messages in my computer right now. I'm probably about 25. And I already had one that I was preparing for the day, one that I thought I was going to be preparing for the day, but yesterday at 5 a.m. I woke up, and I could not go back to sleep because the Lord kept dealing with my heart. He gave me this message today. And the more I studied it, the more I prepared it, the more I got it ready, the more I felt the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Yes, we can. Can y'all come gather around Tommy, please? Y'all go to him where he's at. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask your touch to be upon Brother Tommy today. Father, we proclaim healing. We proclaim, dear God, your victory in his body. By your stripes, dear God, your word says that we are healed. Father, give him comfort and peace and physical joy throughout his being today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, dear Lord. We do magnify and praise you. Let your will be accomplished today, dear God, within him today, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. We magnify you today, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. The message I got for you today, I think I've heard it preached in my 42 years of ministry. I think I've heard it preached twice. Never preached it before. And there's a special point that goes along with the message the two times that I heard it. But when the Lord gave me this one, he said, no, you ain't going that way. You're going to preach it and cover this thing with it, this particular instance. And so if you wouldn't mind, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? I tried to get it, Tommy, before you sat down. Hallelujah. Luke 15 and 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Amen. Will you stretch your hands this way and pray for me today? I am in serious need of a touch from God today. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I am your servant today, dear God. I will stand and do what you have led me to do. I will be your vessel. I will go through what I have to go through, dear God, in order to bring this word today. I rebuke the attack of the enemy against my body. And I proclaim victory today, dear God, that I might bring forth this word in a way that would glorify and uplift and magnify the name of Jesus. That it might be pleasing in your sight, dear God, in the throne room of heaven today. Let this word, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the unction of power of God, let it go forward today, dear God, in a way such that all those under the sound of my voice would receive this word today, dear God, into their hearts, their lives, and their souls. And let their souls be eternally changed, and their souls, dear God, be nourished by this word. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever had a yard sale?
Yes.
You had that yard sale, and when you get, you're thinking you're going to get rid of everything you got. And when you get done, there is a truckload. It's still all good stuff. Now, it might look like junk. Oh, it's a yard sale. Somebody's trying to get rid of it. Somebody didn't want it, so they're wanting to have a yard sale, get rid of it. So people don't, at the end of the yard sale, they don't like to come by. And sometimes you have to call companies and Goodwill or somebody to come by and pick it up, or Mr. Carroll. Mr. Carroll come by and pick it up because he knows it's still good stuff and he can sell it. At the end of the day, you try to let it go cheap, and sometimes at the end of the day, you try to say, well, it's free. Whoever come and get it. The Facebook is plastered with that kind of thing. Free. Yard sale's over. Come pick up what we got left. Ooh, yeah, amen. Yeah. Sister Barbara says, if it's free, it's for me. Hallelujah. It's all good stuff. It's all still good stuff. If you actually had need of it and had to go out and buy it, it would still cost you a pretty penny. Hallelujah. But right now, you can't give it away because it's what's left over at a yard sale. Amen. The shepherd in our passage today, he lost a sheep. One. And the whole time, now the shepherds, they have a job. And that job is they're supposed to look after the flock. They look after the sheep. They take care of them all. And sometimes there's hundreds. Something depending on which master they work for, there's thousands of sheep in their flock. And they know, you know, every time there's a flock of sheep, you're going to end up with little baby lambs, right? Their job is look after them lambs too. But the whole time they're looking after that flock, they ain't got on their mind what would happen if that baby lamb would disappear. They ain't got on their mind what's going on with that baby lamb. You know why? Because that baby lamb is following its mama around. Uh-huh. Like a lost kitten. Right. That baby lamb is following its mama around because it's got supper, lunch, and breakfast.
That's right.
That baby lamb is following its mama. Because mama will fight for it. Yeah. And that shepherd, he don't pay no attention to that little lamb. It's just like all the other sheep to him. The whole flock, they're all out there. In his day-to-day, he don't pay attention to that little lamb until he notices that little lamb has left the flock and has disappeared. When he realizes that lamb is gone, that's coming off his pay. He realizes that lamb is gone, his master ain't going to be none too happy when he finds the remains of that lamb somewhere else. So that shepherd, he leaves the entire flock, goes and searches high and low. He turns over every rock, stirs every bush, beats every bush with his stick, looks in every ditch until he finds that sheep. And when he finds that sheep, oh, yes. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He picks up that sheep and throws it across his shoulders. And he's got it. Puts it across his shoulders because that's a place of safety. That's a place of care. That's a place of warmth. That's a place of surety. Hallelujah. But he puts everything he had into finding, and when he found it, he puts it around his shoulders and brings it back to the flock. And he rejoices because he's brought that one little lamb back to the flock. Somebody say praise God. Don't it make you feel good he's brought that little lamb back to the flock? That's because Jesus wants us to know that among his flock, you might feel like you're not like anybody else, and you might feel like, well, nobody notices me. Something happens to me, ain't nobody going to care, but somebody does. Number one, this pastor's going to care. No, not number one. Number two, this pastor's going to care. Number one, God is going to care, and he's going to go after you. He's going to leave the 99 and go back and bring you back into the fold. But that's not the point I'm trying to make today. There's a tradition, an old tradition, among the Hebrew women in Bible times. I think some of the older ones still do it now. Some of the, not older ones, but some of the more traditional Jewish people, Hebrew people, they still do this. The women, when they get married in age, they start wearing a chain around their forehead, and it's got 10 gold or 10 silver coins to it, attached to it, across their forehead. I posted a picture of it on Facebook last night. You can go back and look at it. And they wear those 10 coins, they're precious. They're there for a reason. Those 10 coins, according to some tradition, it suggests that those coins represent her worth to her future husband. Y'all know what a dowry is? A dowry is something your family, if you're a woman, your family pays to a prospective husband so he'll marry you. It's not so that you'll pay him. It's letting him know what kind of value and worth you place on your daughter. So those women wear those 10 silver coins or the 10 gold coins around their forehead to represent their worth. And tradition is that they were constantly to clean those coins and polish those coins, because, you know, wearing them in your hair, what's going to get on them? Dirt and oil and whatever. And so they're constantly supposed to be polishing and keeping those coins clean, because if a prospective husband comes along and he takes a look at the coins on her forehead and they're not polished and clean, they look like she's forgot about them, you know what he's going to say? She don't care nothing about them. She ain't going to care nothing about me. And it makes her worth that much less. Now, I'm not belittling women today. This is an old tradition, and it's got a point behind it. So y'all don't get mad with me. I ain't saying you're worth 10 cows, Sister Renee.
That's right.
Five cows. There was a young man preaching at a church we was at before, and he stood up and his whole message was about how women was worth cows. And he didn't ever get to the right point that made his... I knew what he was saying, but nobody else did. And boy, them women was mad when he got done preaching. We're worth cows. We're cattle now. No, I ain't talking about... I ain't saying that. I'm saying you're worth silver and gold. Hallelujah. Now, if she was negligent in her care of those coins, she was considered less worthy of marriage. Now, something else would happen. Now, this is according to what I've heard and what I've learned in tradition. I don't know this for sure, but if her parents found her to be troublesome or a wild child or disobedient, they would take a coin away. Now, remember, these women would wear these coins on their forehead all the time. And when they go out to the well every day at watering time or laundry time, everybody looked around to see who was keeping their coins clean and see if they got them all there. Because if you didn't have all 10 of your coins, it was a symbol of shame to you. Yes. And I don't know whether they would give them back or not. But if any young woman was seen to have less than 10 coins, it was considered she was less worthy to be married. These women would wear these chains of gold around their foreheads so that all could see. Everybody could see how much they're worth. And it happens with most things that are daily. Y'all know daily grind, the daily thing. Sometimes she would almost forget they were there. Wouldn't you? And they were hardly even thought of during the course of a day, sometimes a week. And seemingly they were not so important in the day-to-day of everything she had to do. But in our text today, we find that a woman lost one of her coins. Now, what did it mean for her to lose her coin? If her bridegroom was to show up and she didn't have but 9 coins, oh, no, that would never work. And if she was to go out to the laundry and out to the well to get water and she only had 9 coins around her forehead, all them other women say, "Oh, what have you been doing?" And all they would just, they would treat her as just like Mean Girls, that new movie on TV. Suddenly, this woman who may have forgotten those coins were around her head, now that she's missing one, suddenly that is of extreme importance to her. Amen? So the Bible says that she goes into that house. She turns over all the furniture. She lights a candle and holds it up. She takes a broom and sweeps every corner of the house till she finds that gold coin and puts it back on her chain. And when she finds that gold coin and puts it back on her chain, she'll march back out there to the well and say, "Look here, women, what I done found. Look here what I done put back on my head. I'm worth 10 coins now. Y'all can't laugh at me no more." But she would go throughout her life without giving thought to them until one was missing. Until it was too late. Hallelujah. Because if she was found without that one coin, she was marked as a horrible woman. This parable was intended to show your importance as just one single child of God amongst a great multitude of believers. Because a whole lot of times people begin to believe, "I'm amongst all these believers, I don't mean nothing to God. But you are precious to Him. You are treasure to Him. Every single one of you. Even you, Ricky." And like the single lamb that is lost from the 99 sheep, the Lord places great importance on your single individual soul. But that's not the point that I've been trying to make today. The Lord woke me up and made me to understand what He wanted at 5 o'clock yesterday. And gave me this message. Yes, we all know how important our soul is to the Lord. But in all my years, y'all know what I keep telling y'all, right? I watch people. I go and sit in crowds. Yesterday at Ricky's party for Olivia, I didn't hardly talk to nobody. You know what I was doing? I was watching everybody. I was paying attention to everybody. I was watching them. I was learning everything I could about them. Well, sometime I might get a chance to minister to them. I might need to understand what's going on with them. Amen? So I was paying attention. I study you when you don't know I am. That's not creepy at all. I've come to find out that in the day-to-day life that we start looking at our soul and forget about it. We forget it's there. We take our souls for granted and begin to let things go. Uh-oh. He done gone to meddling now. We start letting holiness slip out the window. We start slipping up and picking up some of them little sins we done laid down time back. We get into things and we start paying attention to things and reading things and watching things that seem like they're okay. but they're laced with poison. Come on, somebody. Now, we take our souls for granted, just like the young woman would take her gold coins for granted until the day she lost it. And then one day the bridegroom showed up. What does that mean for your soul when the bridegroom shows up on that cloud? Go ahead, Mason. When the bridegroom steps out on that cloud, is it time then to start taking account of your soul? Or is it just a little bit late? It's a little bit late when the bridegroom done stepped out on the cloud, because you won't have time to go back and fix nothing. Because my Bible tells me in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he shall catch away all the dead in Christ. The graves will open up, and then those of us which are alive and remain shall go up to heaven to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? You won't have time to go back and fix nothing. And then what will you do? You know, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to go hunting for your gold coins now. One day the bridegroom showed up and found her coins unkempt and unpolished. Found her lacking. Your soul is of great importance until you consider. But until you consider, it's in peril. You don't think anything about it in your day to day. I just keep right on doing what I've been doing, preacher. I just keep right on doing what I've been doing, pastor. I just keep right on. But one day you're going to hear that trumpet. And you're going to realize that you've let some things go. And your gold coins ain't shiny no more. And they're caked over with oil and dirt. Might even have one or two or three missing that you ain't noticed. But when the bridegroom shows up, it's too late to take account. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? It's too late to take account. Then would you stand with me all over the house this morning? Would you bow your heads? Nobody looking around. Your soul is of great importance. Don't let your soul be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't get to the gate and hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Be cast into outer darkness. There's already one moving towards the altar today. And the Lord is speaking to hearts right now. He's already speaking to hearts. I know he is. I can feel it. Don't let your soul be cast into outer darkness because you have forgotten your word. There's more moving to the altar. And I know there's others. I know. Like I said, I watch you. I pay attention, and the Holy Ghost moves on me and shows me what I need to do to minister to you. You can pretend and you can hide. You can act like everything's okay. But you ain't hiding nothing from God. Hallelujah.
God, was that not a good sermon?
Amen.
It was. Absolutely. You know, we need to stop and take account of our soul. Where do we stand with the Lord?
Amen.
I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord.
Amen.
You still have to go back and repent and take care of business. God's a good God to us to give us a pastor like this. We have a good pastor. We're going to do the five-finger thing, and my buddy's going to do it for me. And then we're going to close in prayer.
Something we do every Sunday service, it gives a chance for somebody to, you know, call upon the Lord and, you know, save their soul. And it's just five simple, you know, things that we say on each of our fingers. We start with a thumb. And if you repeat after me, you say this: Dear Lord, I am a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sins.
I know you died on the cross for my sins.
And you rose again the third day.
You rose again the third day.
Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Make me a new Christian.
Make me a new Christian.
And punch the devil in the face.
Hallelujah. Now, if you said that and you believed it in your heart, you're saved.
Amen.
That's all it takes. It's so simple, and the devil makes it so hard. But we need to remember that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we ask you to take care of each and every one of us here. Help us to be back at your appointed time tonight, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you would touch each soul in here, Lord. Help us to take record of what it is we need and to follow you with our whole heart, Lord. And we give you all honor, glory, and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kid Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.